Genesis, go to the last chapter of Genesis. Last chapter of Genesis. Good to see all of you folks here today. We have some visitors with us. We certainly good to see our visitors. Hope and pray that you receive a blessing today. Did you find the last chapter of Genesis? All right, what is it? 50. 50 chapters in Genesis. All right, once you find Genesis 50, see if you can find verse 14. Can you find verse 14? Got it? Wow, you're doing really good today. I am amazed at how well you're really doing. You found Genesis, you found the last chapter, and you found verse 14. Wow. I'm impressed, folks. I'm really, really impressed of how good you're doing today. So far you're doing well. Now let's see if you can stand to your feet. For those of you that can stand, we're going to read from 14 to the end of the chapter. All right, so you're at Genesis 50, 14. Right? Say amen. Let me know that you're awake. That's all I care about. All right. Starting to, I'll read. You don't have to read out loud. You just sit there and follow along. Or stand there and follow along. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and be comforted. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together today. Thank you, Lord, for those that you have brought to church this morning. Lord, I am grateful and thankful for this book, the Bible. I am thankful and grateful for the many stories that we see in the Bible. Lord, as we look at the story of Joseph today, I pray that you would bless us and meet with us. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us. I pray that you would challenge us. I pray that you would convict us of what we need to change in our lives. Lord, I pray and I believe that everybody came here because you wanted them here. I believe those that are listening online today are listening because you want them to listen to this message. I believe in divine appointments. And I believe that this is a divine appointment. Lord, you take the message, you take your word, use your servant behind this pulpit for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we pray that you bless the message as it goes forth, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've got to tell you that probably there's a lot of great stories in the Bible. Joseph, to me, the story of Joseph ranks right up there with all of the stories in the Bible. It is, to me, it's as good as Esther, the story of Esther. And I love the story of Esther. It is as good as any story in the Bible. It ranks right up there by Daniel. I love the story of Daniel. I love when I read through different parts of the Bible, you come across these different things. The story of Ruth, the story of David. I mean, there are amazing stories in the Bible, and this is one of those stories that, to me, it's a tremendous story. I have written in bold letters in the top of the page of chapter 37, Joseph, faith in the face of adversity. Joseph, his faith in the face of adversity. Every one of us, as human beings, have already faced adversity in our life, if you're of any age. If you haven't faced any adversity, you will face adversity in your life. There will be times in your life that problems will arise. Big things, big problems could arise. Situations that you, right now, you have no idea how you're going to handle that. Some kind of news that you're going to get about somebody or yourself. You may come into a financial difficulty, a health difficulty, a family difficulty, but there are adversities in our life that hit us probably most of the days of our life. And some of them may be so small you don't realize them. But how many times do we take a small adversity and we magnify it to a huge adversity? That happens in our lives also. Joseph is the great example of faith in the face of adversity. It's hard to find somebody with this kind of faith in your Bible other than Joseph. I'm not saying the other ones didn't have it. Daniel is another great story, but this story of Joseph is an amazing story. And I'm just going to hit some highlights of his life today. I'm just going to go through some of the pages of where it starts and just hit some things about him. We see in chapter 37 that Joseph starts off at the age of 17 years old. That's when we really meet him, when his life really starts taking off. I mean, we first heard when Rachel, his mother, had him. Isaac was an old man. His grandfather was still alive. Shortly thereafter, Joseph was born. Isaac passes away. But we really get to meet Joseph and his character at the age of 17. Joseph spent 93 years in Egypt. We just read when he died, 110 years old. He goes down to Egypt at the age of 17, not by his own free will. He did not choose a vacation to Egypt. He didn't choose that. He was forced to go to Egypt. He was sold as a slave for 20 pieces of silver by his own family, his own brothers. Sold him as a slave. They wanted to kill him, but Reuben stood up for him, the oldest of his brethren, and said, "No, don't kill him. We don't want his blood on our hands." So they threw him in a pit, and they sat around and tried to decide, what are we going to do with this? We don't like him. We hate him. He was their dad's favorite. Joseph was dad's favorite. Beware of having children that are your favorites. Joseph was well-liked by his father. Joseph was made a coat of many colors. You know the story of that, possibly. Jacob had this coat of many colors made for his son and gave it to Joseph. And Joseph wore that coat of many colors proudly. Even though I don't believe Joseph was a proud man, young man. But he wore it. He wore it because his dad made it for him. And he loved that coat of many colors. The coat of many colors literally showed to the rest of his brothers where Joseph ranked in the family. Because that coat was something that Joseph wore to show that he probably was the most important of all of his brothers. Now, if you had 11 older brothers and you were walking around presenting yourself in your coat of many colors that Dad gave you, plus his dreams that he had of his brothers, and then he shared his dreams with his brothers. He said, "We were in the field and these 11 sheep came up and all of these sheep literally bowed down to my sheep. And they heard that dream, and they heard the other dream that he had, and they hated him. The Bible said they hated him yet the more because of the dreams that Joseph had about his brethren. Little did they know that 30 some odd years after this whole thing, they are going to bow down to Joseph. But when Joseph presented him with the dream, them with a dream, they hated him to the point where when Dad said, Jacob said, Joseph, I want you to go and check on your brothers. Now, Joseph was the guy that Jacob could use to come back and bring me news about them. Another reason that Joseph was hated is because, you got to say it, he was the tattletale of the family. Right? When his brothers acted up, guess who ran and told Daddy? Joseph. Daddy, you're not going to believe what these guys are doing out there. And so Joseph would share that news with his father. And, of course, Jacob would, deal with them as he had to. And so they did not like him at all. He was the tattletale of the family. He was the special child of the family in a way that ranked him higher than the other brothers. And they knew that Jacob seemed to like or loved him more than the rest of them. And so Joseph, at the age of 17, when Dad is telling him to go off and find out how his brothers are doing. You know, this wasn't a simple little couple-hour trip. Joseph had to travel about, from what I could gather from this, about 50 miles to find his brothers. Beyond 50 miles, probably. It was probably closer to 65 miles. Joseph had to walk and to go and find his brethren. They left the Hebron Valley, which is south in Israel, and due north is this place called Shechem. Is where they actually wandered and took their flocks up to that place of Shechem, where it was much greener and much more better up there for their sheep to graze. And so they traveled up that far. From there, from Shechem, they traveled a little further to Dothan. And Dothan is where they ended up going, and that's where Joseph found them. About 65 miles, thereabouts, walking. So it wasn't just the next town over where he could go. He had a trip to make. And so Joseph is approaching his brethren. And how could you not see the coat of many colors coming from a mile away? Right? That's got to be Joseph. What's he doing here? And so you can even sense the attitude of the brothers when they see their brother coming. So they plot a horrible plot against him. And again, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to just get rid of him, kill him. They didn't care until Reuben spoke up and said, guys, come on, he's our brother. Okay, he's a half-brother, but he's still our brother. He's still our father's child. And so they decided to, again, throw him in a pit, put him in this place. There was no water in that pit, but it was a good little prison cell for him until they could figure out what to do with him. And so, you know the story that these Midianites and Amalekites came by and they were on their way down to Egypt. And so what they did is they came up with a plot to sell Joseph as a slave to them. And they in turn bought Joseph for the 20 pieces of silver. And they said, when we get down to Egypt, we'll sell him to somebody of importance and make some money on this guy. And that's exactly what they did. And so Joseph ends up going down to Egypt because his brethren didn't want to have anything to do with him. They end up killing a goat. And they shed the blood of that goat and they dip the coat of many colors into the blood of that goat. And then their plot was, let's just tell Dad that some beast got a hold of him and ripped him to shreds, and this is the rest, this is what the coat of many colors, this is what has happened to that. It's very interesting that Jacob, listen to this, Jacob and Rebekah did the same thing to deceive their brother Esau in the past. They killed a goat. Rebecca made the savory venison, and it wasn't venison. She put enough spices and things in there, just like Isaac loved, But they deceived the same way. You've got to understand that the Bible teaches us, go over to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Jacob was learning lessons throughout his entire life. Some lessons he learned pretty well and others he had a hard time with. But here's a lesson that I believe that Jacob learned. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Joseph had this thing happen to him, and little did he know that the way that they were doing this whole situation was, it was going back to Jacob, the same way that Jacob and Rebekah went against Esau. You will reap what you sow. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You sow corn, you're going to reap corn. You sow wheat, you're going to reap wheat. You sow sin, you're going to reap sin. Or the consequences of that sin. So Joseph, get back to our story here. Joseph goes down into Egypt. And from chapter 37, we come to chapter 38, and some people have said, why is chapter 38 even in the Bible? It is a chapter that there's things in there that I wouldn't even like or feel comfortable with preaching from the pulpit about what happened in chapter 38. If you don't know what happened in chapter 38, just go home and read it. I'll leave it at that. But the sin and the shame of Judah is found in chapter 38. A horrible thing that Judah did in chapter 38. However, listen, Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. Here, Judah represents sin and shame in chapter 38, but Jesus comes from this tribe. Jesus Christ came through this line, but Jesus Christ was without sin. The opposite of Judah. But what a blessing to know that Christ came through that. Also, Tamar is mentioned in chapter 38. She's also mentioned in the lineage of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1. So chapter 38, obviously everything is in the Bible for a purpose and for a reason. We certainly don't argue that at all. It's just when you read that chapter 38, you just kind of say, well, okay, but why is that there? And then we come to chapter 39. Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Look at verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3. His master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. I was searching through, preparing for this, trying to find where maybe God spoke to Joseph somewhere, and God never actually spoke verbally or audibly that I can find to Joseph. He did to Isaac. He did to Jacob. He did to Abraham. He did to Moses, but Joseph never audibly, that I can tell, it could have been somewhere, but I don't think it's recorded anywhere. He did have the dreams that God gave him, no doubt. But I don't see where God actually spoke to Joseph and gave him direction and told him what a wonderful God he was and how he was going to help him and how he was going to be with him through all this adversity at all. Except, he had the instruction of his father, Jacob. He had the instruction of his grandfather, Isaac. And he knew about his great-grandfather, Abraham. So what did Joseph have to give him the courage and the faithfulness that he had. He had simply the Word of God given to him down through these men prior to him. Joseph survived on the Word of God. So he did. He survived knowing that the Lord was with him. I went over to the book of Hebrews to find out the great things that was said about him in the book of Hebrews, and there's only one verse that mentions Joseph by name at all. It doesn't say all of the great things that Joseph did like it did with Moses and with Noah and some of the other. It just mentions his name in passing. You know, Joseph, he served the Lord without caring about getting all of the applause and all of the attaboys that some Christians are looking for in ministry. He just served God because it was the right thing to do. Joseph was faithful to his God because it was the right thing to do. Didn't have to have all of the limelight, even though he gets a lot of limelight in the Bible, doesn't he? Joseph was not looking for the limelight. Again, he didn't arrange for this vacation in Egypt. He was taken there not by his own free will, but God was with him. God was with Joseph every day of his life. And you know what? Joseph knew that. God didn't have to audibly speak to him or show him a neon light in heaven. God didn't have to do it. Joseph just knew in his heart that God was with him. Matter of fact, Potiphar saw how God was with him and how his own home, his own house was blessed because Joseph was there. In verse 3 of chapter 39. Joseph, by the way, in the Old Testament, is the example of Romans 8:28 in the New. Romans 8:28, many of you know the verse. I'm just going to read it to you. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." I'll tell you this, Joseph loved God. And the things that were happening to the life of Joseph, you might say, from a fleshly standpoint, why would God allow Joseph to go through all of this? You know how many Christians think that and say that? Why would God allow me to go through this? Why would God allow me to have this health issue, this problem, this financial difficulty, this family problem? Why would God allow me to go through this? How many times have we heard somebody say that? Maybe you've said it yourself. Why would God allow me to go through this? Joseph never asked that question. He just went through life and knew that God was with him. And you know what? God was with him. I think he knew before it was written. The Bible says in Hebrews, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Joseph knew that. Joseph held on to that. That's what we need to hold on to when we're going through adversity in our own life. We need to look at Joseph and what did he do? How did he handle this? So he gets to Egypt, sold as a slave, sold into the home of Potiphar. Potiphar is a great man as far as under the Pharaoh, under the king of Egypt. Potiphar was a soldier. He was the captain of the guard. I mean, this guy was somebody. And Joseph is literally, Potiphar says, "You know what? I can see that God is with you. You've got charge of my entire house, my property. Everything that happens in this home, you're in charge of. You're my steward." He oversaw his money. He oversaw everything. He took on every responsibility. If food needed to be ordered, Joseph did it. If the cows or the whatever he had needed to be taken care of, Joseph saw to it that they were taken care of. If the house needed to be cleaned, guess who did it? Joseph did it. Without complaining. He swept and vacuumed and cleaned and dusted without complaining. I don't think they had vacuum cleaners back in those days. He moved that broom like you've never seen a broom move before. Joseph was actually serving God while serving in a worldly place. Oh, you can do that? You can live in the world and still serve God? You can live in the world and still know that God is real and that God is with me, even though we're going through the things that we're going through in life. We've just come through this crazy political stuff. We still don't know what's going on. We still don't know what could happen. And we've come through that, and conservatives have come through that, and we're still alive, folks. We're still okay. Amen. I prayed today for President Biden. And I prayed for Vice President Harris. I prayed for their salvation today. We need to pray for that. Matter of fact, I don't know their names, but I just said, Lord, please take care of the whole administration. They all need to be saved. Joseph was moved into Egypt. Do you know what Egypt was like during the time of Joseph? Do you realize that they were idol worshipers? You talk about cults in Egypt, they were full of cults in Egypt. They didn't believe in the God of heaven like Joseph believed. When Daniel was moved into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel didn't give in to the ways of the world, did he? Daniel purposed in his heart. Joseph, it doesn't say this word for word, but Joseph purposed in his heart that he was still going to serve God even in Egypt, even in the world. When you look at the life of Joseph and the life of Jesus Christ, do you know how much comparison there is? When you look at what Joseph went through and what Christ went through, it's amazing. I just wrote a bunch of things down here in my Bible, but Joseph was a miraculous birth. Rachel could not have children for a long, long time. You might know the story of that whole thing, but Rachel couldn't have any children. Finally, she has Joseph, and then she has Benjamin, and then she dies having Benjamin. But her birth was a miraculous birth, as the birth of Christ was a miraculous birth. Joseph was greatly loved by his father. Jesus Christ was greatly loved by his father. Joseph was hated and rejected by his own brethren, his own brothers. Hated and rejected. Matter of fact, what did they do? They wanted to kill him. Sound familiar? Jesus Christ, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own brethren, the brethren that we talk about is the Jewish people. That is the brethren of Jesus Christ. He was a Jewish man. And the Jews rejected him and hated him. And then after 33 and a half years, they nailed him to the cross and killed him. Joseph would have died, except Reuben stepped in and said, let's not kill him. Joseph went, and we're going to get to that if I ever get to that, but Joseph went from being a slave, a servant, to a king. Or at least in a position of a king. Second most powerful man in all of Egypt, under Pharaoh, Joseph became. Joseph suffered greatly before his glory, before becoming this all-important person in the kingdom of Egypt. He suffered, as Jesus did. In chapter 39, we see an amazing temptation that Joseph was faced every day as he served in Potiphar's house. Mr. Potiphar had a very unfaithful wife. Let's admit it. I don't think Joseph was her first target. If she's targeting Joseph, I can guarantee you she probably targeted the guy before Joseph. No telling where the guy before Joseph is today. Or what happened to them at that particular time. And I think that Mr. Potiphar kind of knew that he had problems with his wife. Because he could have had Joseph killed based on the accusation that she lied about when she said that he tried to rape me. Potiphar could have had him killed. But he threw him in jail instead. Literally saved his life. So the Bible makes it, and I'm not going to read it all, but you know the story that every single day, Joseph would come in to do his service in the house, and there she was, tempting him, to do exactly what she wanted him to do, not what he wanted. And I believe the temptation got worse and worse over time. I'll say this gently and lovingly, but not too many men could have gone through what Joseph went through. I'm just telling you honestly, guys. In verse 7, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me, but what? But thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and what? Sin against who? God." You see who Joseph brought up first? God. "How can I do this and sin, this wickedness and sin against God?" It came to pass, verse 10, as she spake to Joseph, see, she didn't buy that. She says, "Nah, that's all right." Spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment, trying to force him, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. It came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew man, an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." What did she just do? She lied about the whole situation. But who did they believe? Her. Potiphar came home and she said, "See what he tried to do? You brought this Hebrew person into this house, and look what he tried to do. He tried to lie with me. He tried to do this, and I've got the proof." Potiphar became extremely upset over this whole ordeal. Even though probably, and I'm not trying to add to the Bible, I don't know, but I just think that he probably knew, possibly way back here somewhere, that maybe Joseph was telling the truth. I think he knew. Because he knew that the Lord was with him. And you know that Joseph was a man that Potiphar knew that he could trust in his home. With his wife, that he probably knew that she was not the most faithful. And so when the accusation was given, I'm sure that Potiphar said, "Okay." But for the sake of Egypt and for the sake of his home and for the sake of Pharaoh, he had to do something. He couldn't just let it go. So he threw Joseph in prison. Verse 21, after he was thrown in prison, look what it says. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Look at verse 23. "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Where is Joseph right now? He's in prison right now. I think if I did my math right, I think he was in prison for what, 13 years? 13 years he was serving in prison for something he did not do at all. He was 100% innocent. But he's in prison. He's suffering in prison. But he was completely innocent, right? Jesus died on a cross, but he was completely 100% innocent. Didn't do anything wrong. And yet they nailed him to the cross. They removed his life from him. Joseph was sent to prison for something that he didn't do, simply because somebody lied. Getting back to the comparison between Jesus and Joseph, we see that he was arrested and treated unjustly, just like Christ. He was sold for silver. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph for 20 pieces. I don't think it's recorded in the scripture. I haven't been able to find it, but I often wonder if maybe the Ishmaelites sold Joseph to Potiphar for 30 pieces of silver. Possible? They bought him for 20. You know they're going to make a little extra money down there in Egypt. Wonder if it was 30 pieces of silver. I think we'll find out someday. I don't know. And yet, he still faithfully served others. Even in prison. It's amazing that he could survive such an ordeal. But you know how he could survive such an ordeal? His faith in the face of adversity. Joseph's attitude was he was living on the top of circumstances, not underneath the circumstances. Does that make sense? Joseph lived on top of the circumstances. He didn't allow the circumstance to dictate and drive his life. Some of you allow your circumstances to do just that. You allow circumstances to get you down and discouraged and depressed and despondent. You're allowing the circumstances in your life to run your life. Joseph, he lived on top of the circumstance. And the circumstance, he was so much more powerful with God that the circumstance, it's not that it didn't matter, but he didn't allow it to destroy his life. He didn't allow it to destroy his attitude. He certainly didn't allow it to destroy his relationship with God. One day, in the prison house where he's been for all these years, the chief butler and the chief baker are thrown into jail. We don't know why. Maybe the butler tripped with the glass of wine and spilled it on the Persian rug, and it upset Pharaoh. Maybe the baker didn't make Pharaoh's pie that he wanted that day. Because you know Pharaoh wanted an apple pie every day of his life, probably. And for some reason he didn't get it. We don't know why. The Bible doesn't tell us why that these two guys ended up in prison. And they both have a dream. And the dream is kind of unusual out of both of them. And Joseph interprets the dream. Doesn't he? And so he interprets this dream that God was able to give him and share that with them. And so the butler, he gets good news. He's getting released after 3 days. And that's good news. I'm getting out of prison in 3 days. Whew. Well, that was a close call. So the baker, he comes to Joseph and, all right, the butler got good news. I'm hoping and praying for some good news right now. Do you know what? Joseph was extremely honest with that baker. And I'm preaching right now. I'm just saying, I'm sorry, buddy, but I got some bad news for you. You ain't making it. 3 days. You're going to be hanged. He even told him how he was going to die. And I'm sure for the next 3 days, the baker was not in a good mood. Right? The butler, he's in a great mood. I'm getting out in 3 days. You know that Joseph was numbered with these transgressors? Right? Two transgressors. Two. Sound familiar? Jesus hung between two transgressors. One of those, in this story, the butler, was blessed. He was saved. His life was saved. The baker, the other guy, he didn't make it. He wasn't blessed. He was, you might say, cursed. Or he was judged. One was blessed and one was judged. Jesus Christ hung between two thieves. One was blessed because he repented and he turned to Jesus Christ and said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The other guy on the other side of Jesus, he's begging for Jesus just to get him off, come down off the cross and save us. He never, as far as we know, he never repented and turn to Jesus Christ to get saved. Those two men, both of them died that day. One went to glory, to paradise, and the other went to hell. If you're not saved, that's where you go, by the way. But we see this story here in the Old Testament with these two guys, very similar to the story that we see in the New Testament. So Joseph tells the butler, hey, when you get out, could you give me some good news, please? Could you give me a good report to Potiphar, to Pharaoh? Could you please let them know that I'm here and I didn't do anything wrong? You know, the butler knew that he was innocent. He heard the story, and he was convinced that Joseph was innocent. So the baker, he gets hanged. By the way, it was a birthday party that caused this whole thing. Every time I've seen a birthday party in the Bible, it never ended up being good. Birthday parties always ended up being a disaster for somebody. Somebody got killed at every birthday party I've read about in the Bible. Here's one. In verse 20 of chapter 40, came to pass the third day, which was what? Pharaoh's birthday. That he made a feast unto all his servants. He lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup, gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, and he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph, prior to that, asked the butler, would you please help me maybe get out of prison here? When you get back to Pharaoh, would you please help me out? Do you know that that was not God's timing? Do you know that if Joseph had gotten out of prison right then and there, that he would not have been the great servant and helper when Pharaoh dreamed the dreams that he needed interpreted? If Joseph was out of prison, let's say he went back home to Jacob, Pharaoh would have dreamed those dreams and nobody would be able to interpret those dreams, and hundreds of thousands of people would have died of a famine because there'd be nobody to help them as Joseph did. And so, say what you might, but in verse 23, when the butler forgot him, that was all part of God's plan. It's like, no, Joseph, you got to stay in prison just a little while longer. You got to stay cooped up just a little while longer in this place. Joseph, as far as I could tell, never complained about it. I tell you, you and I probably would have complained much. We probably would have sat around telling all the other prisoners around there that, you know, I don't deserve to be here. I need to be out right now. I didn't do anything wrong. The butler forgot me. Please, somebody give me word. Give word back to Pharaoh. We would have been hyper about that. But he never did. He didn't complain. Next chapter, Pharaoh has dreams. He has two dreams. And boy, they're weird. Got these fat cows. The word kine in the Bible means cows. And so it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, Joseph sat in prison waiting for this whole thing, and he didn't know what was coming about. Pharaoh dreams, and behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river. You ever see cows just come up out of the river from nowhere? No. Well-favored kine, or cows, and fat-fleshed. And they fed in a meadow. They're eating and enjoying themselves and just having a grand old time, these cows. And then 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-fated and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. You ever see that one before? No, we've never seen anything like that before. Those of you that have farms and know what farming is, I don't think you've ever seen a cow eat another cow. But that's what happened in the dream. The 7 fat cows got eaten by the 7 skinny cows. You'd think now the 7 skinny cows would be fat cows, but they were still skinny. Made no sense at all. Pharaoh, he woke up and he didn't know what was going on. He falls back to sleep. He has another dream, 2nd dream. He's got these seven ears of corn. They come up in one stalk, rank and good. The word rank in the Bible means fat and plenteous. Behold, seven thin ears, blasted with the east wind, they sprung up after them. Verse 7, and the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears. And Pharaoh woke, and behold, it was a dream. That's a little different than the seven cows being eaten by the seven cows. But here's seven ears of corn being eaten by seven ears of corn. Something strange about that number seven. And so his spirit was troubled in verse 8, and he sent and called the magicians of Egypt, the wise men, and all of the people that would come, you know, and interpret the dream for him. But the Bible says they couldn't do it. They could not interpret the dream for Pharaoh. They had no idea what this dream was about. Then, in verse 9, spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward and the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream, and you know the story there. I've got to hurry here. They dreamed a dream, and the baker got hung, and I was restored. And there's a guy there that interpreted your dream for me. His name is Joseph. Pharaoh says, go get him right now. I want to know what this dream is all about. In verse 14, and Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. In other words, Joseph cleaned himself up to meet Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. What is Joseph doing? He's pointing to God, letting Pharaoh know who God is. He says, Pharaoh, listen, I got to tell you right now, it's not me that can interpret this dream. It's my God. It's my Father. He can show me what the dream is. He can show me the interpretation. Joseph did not say, that's me. I'm the guy. You called the right one. Thank you for getting me out of prison, and I'm here to serve you. Pharaoh, I'm the guy that can help you out. No, he gave the glory to where it always belongs. To God. We give glory to God for what He does for us. Joseph could have come up out of that prison complaining and grumbling and griping about all those years he spent in prison, that he was innocent. He didn't do that at all. He saw an opportunity to serve his God. He saw an opportunity to be a witness and a testimony to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he was just that. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, and he gives the dream, and Joseph immediately interprets the dream. Verse 25, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. And then he gives into the whole thing. He tells him about the seven kind. There are the seven good years where the land is just going to be full of all kinds of corn and wheat and all the goodness of the land. He said, but after the seven good years is coming seven bad years. A famine this world has never seen before. And I believe it was a worldwide famine. It was a famine that was brought about by God Almighty. Joseph gives Pharaoh exactly what he needs. He says, listen, this is what you need to do. And Pharaoh said, there's nobody with wisdom like you. You're the guy that's going to do it. He gave him a crown. He gave him his ring. Pharaoh gave Joseph his ring. He gave him his robe. He gave him all the glory of being second in command in Egypt. What an amazing advancement. You talk about an advancement. And Joseph was used tremendously. In verse 46, chapter 41, Joseph was 30 years old. 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. How old was he when he went into prison? 17. He's 30 now. 13 years he spent in prison. And now he's going to do an amazing job of making sure that everybody gathers in enough corn and all of the other grain that they would need to sustain them for a complete seven-year famine. When you read the rest of the book of Genesis, you read about that famine. It was awful. People were literally selling their lands to get food. They were giving everything they had to just get enough food. You'll do anything just to have food to eat. When you fall into adversity, how is your reaction? Is your faith strong like the faith of Joseph's? Can you survive an adversity? Some Christians completely collapse and zone out, and that's it. Throw in the towel and quit everything when adversity comes. Think that's what the Lord wants? Do you have any faith when it comes to adversity in your life? And it's going to come your way. If it isn't there already, it will come. Rest assured, the good news, it's coming. Well, that's the bad news, I guess. Adversity is coming, but the Lord can be with you as He was with Joseph. When the circumstances hit your life, what do? Do you allow the circumstances to control your life? Or do you control the circumstances? This story of Joseph is a tremendous story that deals with faith in the face of adversity. I'll leave you with one more verse and then we'll finish this up here for today. Chapter 41, verse 32. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass. Not only did the dreams, or was the dreams established by God, but the life of Joseph was established by God. And God used Joseph, one man, to feed thousands of people. One man to bring God to a godless place called Egypt. One man that could literally just change the realm of so many things that was going on in that country at that time. One man. Not a huge number of people, just one. You see how one person can make a difference? One person can make an amazing difference if you'll just let God work in your life. Just let God work through you and use you and stop complaining about everything that happens to you in your life. You can be known as the complainer, or you can be known as the one that has faith in the face of adversity. Your choice. You choose. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you, challenge you, to think about receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He can save you and He will save you if you want to be saved. You need to come to Him and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. We all know that we're sinners. Lord, I believe You died for me on the cross, and He did die on the cross. Some people say, I don't believe He died on the cross. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. Well, the history books tell us, encyclopedias, worldly encyclopedias tell us that Jesus Christ was here 2,000 years ago. And that He did die on a cross. And the history books even say that He rose again. Mysterious resurrection after 3 days. It's a historical fact that Jesus was here, died, rose again. And He was God. And He is God. And He'll always be God. And if you're not saved, He wants to save your soul right now. He loves you so much that He died for you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He died for every human being, and you're a human being. And He wants to save your soul today. If you're not saved. If you are saved, how's your faith? You see the life of Joseph, and we've only scratched a little bit of that today. But he survived. He made it. And God blessed him because God was with him every step of the way. God is with you also every step of the way. If you're saved here today, God is always with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You don't ever have to worry about walking through life alone, all by yourself. Maybe you don't have another human being next to you, but you've got God Almighty with you. Your choice today. You think about it. You make that choice. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could be here today. Thank you, Lord, again for the story of Joseph. What an amazing story. Lord, I praise you and thank you for it. And I pray that you would help us. Lord, I pray that you'd build our faith up.